Jesus is risen. Happy Easter. Welcome to St. John's. We continue our week of weeks celebration of this amazing season of Easter. This is just the third Sunday in it, and so we are still overjoyed, and I'm so glad that you can be with us. Those of you who are here, those of you who are watching on your computers or at home or who may do that in the days ahead, it is good for God's children to be together in worship. We have Sunday school bags on that back pew. There are Sunday school bags. So if you have children with you, if you have children who will come to visit today, if you see children in your life someplace and you feel like bringing them a Sunday school bag, it is a great thing. It has a story and a craft, and it has a way for them to see and realize just how much God loves them in Jesus Christ our Lord. We have Sunday school bags. Drive-in communion will continue. This is for mostly for you who are watching on your computers. If you have been home and staying safe, but that means also that you have been staying away from the table of our Lord. So you can call Lynn at the church office and schedule sometime between 10 and noon on Thursday morning. And I can bring to you the communion so that you know that you are still loved by God and welcome at the table. We will continue this week and in the weeks to come, so join us there. I have a really exciting announcement to make in that the Joy Circle is resuming this Tuesday, the 20th of April, at 1 o'clock in the parlor. They're saying that you please feel free to wear a mask as social distancing will be observed, and they are extending an invitation to any new ladies who would like to join the circle. Come and enjoy the Bible study and fellowship. So Joy Circle in the parlor, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, this Tuesday, April 20th. We're also looking for two volunteers. I know usually ask for volunteers and everybody takes a step backwards. So there we are. We're looking for two volunteers to act as delegates to the Southern Ohio Synod Assembly representing St. John's along with me. This year's assembly will be a virtual assembly, and it will be held Friday and Saturday, June 4 and 5. Please contact me if you have any questions or any interest. It will be virtual, and you should have a smartphone in that the voting will be done via app. I'm not even sure what that sentence means some days, but there we are, okay? Also, an exciting piece of news in that we have a new date for Pastor Steve's installation. Yay! By the end of this month, Pastor Abram should have had both of his shots and had his time, and so Sunday, May 23rd. Pentecost Sunday, by the way, Sunday, May 23rd will be the day of my installation. We will have one service that day, inconveniently at 9:30, so that everybody's angry. All right, there we are. Nobody gets their time. And we will have a blended service. Becky will be playing, PB&J will be playing. It will all be wonderful. Once the service is finished, once I have been added to the cupboards and all the rest of that stuff and good and truly installed, we will have light refreshments on the lawn as a way for us to, A, continue to be in celebration, but B, to keep it safe and all the rest of that. We're hoping that it's a spectacular day, because if it rains, I have no idea what we're going to do, all right? But May 23rd, put it on your calendar, remember it. First of all, because there's only one service. So if you came at 8:30, you'd have to wait. And if you came at 10:30, you might make the last song. All right. So 9:30, May 23rd, my installation. And finally, we are continuing to invite and encourage you all to reach out even to one soul with the joy of the Easter message. There are still cards around available. So if you've been looking for a way to be in contact with someone, we're trying to help you with that. But it is a way for us all to continue celebrating the joy of the resurrection. We gather this morning so that we might be in worship. We gather this morning so that we might sing God's praise. So please rise as we begin our worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our gathering song is "Whom Shall I Fear?" We sing together.
call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, I cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life, and you adopt us to be your children. Fill us with your words of life that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. First lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. Peter addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself had made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from the first book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. "See what love the Father has given us. We shall be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he has revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 24th chapter. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Jesus is risen. And may the joy of that proclamation fill your lives this week. It is truly a wondrous thing. This week's gospel was like part two of the Road to Emmaus story. Now, we all know that story where Cleopas and his friend were walking back to Emmaus and Jesus taught them. At the end of that story, Jesus is revealed to them and they run back to Jerusalem. And that's where we get this story. Cleopas, his friend, all the rest of the disciples are there, and there this comes. It's an amazing story. Pastor Brad was looking out the window of his office at the beautiful, beautiful spring day that was around him. Brad was excited because it was almost lilac time. See, Pastor Brad loved lilacs ever since he was a kid. It isn't spring until he can smell lilacs on the wind. Now, forsythia is pretty and tulips are really nice, but for Pastor Brad, it's lilacs. And there was a lilac bush on the church grounds just days away from bursting forth. Pastor Brad's reverie was interrupted by a knock on the door and a man's voice that says, "You're pining for the lilacs, aren't you, Pastor?" It was Paul Falashi. As he entered, he shook Brad's hand and sat down in one of the chairs. "Yes, Paul? Yes, I am. I can't wait to smell the lilacs. After this past year, I'm so ready for something that smells alive and smells so good that it makes my head spin. I'm ready." "Well, how are you today? And how is Cecily?" Paul said, "I'm doing pretty well these days. Cecily is doing something in the yard. So I knew it was time for me to find somewhere else to be for a while. She'll just make this huge honey-do list, and then we'll start negotiating. You know, she thinks I have nothing but time to help her in the yard now." "Well, don't you?" Pastor Brad asked. Paul and Cecily have been members at St. Mary's for over 20 years now. Paul had transferred into one of the big plants in town. He started out as sales lead for a switchover that the plant had done, and he had stayed there at that plant. He retired this past winter after having served as chief of operations for the plant. But Pastor Brad could tell that retirement was a new kind of challenge for Paul. He said, there's not enough time in a day, in a week, or even in a year to deal with all of the lists that Cecily has been making for me. That's why I'm kind of glad I had some negotiation experience at work. She can be a hard nut to crack when what she wants is raised beds or a shady ground cover or some other 100 things that she's read about in a magazine or watched on some show on HGTV. Does your wife do the same kind of thing for you, Pastor? You know, make those long, long lists of things? "Well, Paul, it changes from year to year," Pastor Brad said. "Dana knows that I don't have a green thumb. I can mow, I can use the weed whacker, I can rake leaves in the fall. I can dig holes to plant the bushes or the trees and such, but somebody else had better watch them because I can kill plants by accident. So if Dana wants something to grow, flowers, vegetables, those kinds of things, she usually just tells me what she's going to do over dinner sometime. When it comes to wanting other things like a deck or a patio or a fire ring or a hot tub, now those things she tries to get me to do something about. What has Cecily been asking you to do that drives you to my office instead of enjoying a beautiful day like today?" Pastor Brad sat down behind his desk, turned and faced Paul. "Well, it's not really anything that she's been asking for, Pastor. I've been thinking a lot this year about the resurrection. I'm not sure why, but I think maybe it's just that this is the first time that I've had the time to listen to what you or anyone else says and then time to think about it. Cecily and I have been reading a devotional after dinner before we clear the table. And the devotions are from some of the stories about the Easter readings lately. I suppose there's no surprise there. Over the last couple of days, we've been reading the story about the road to Emmaus and all the stuff afterwards. The question I came to ask you, Pastor, is why doesn't Jesus do what he did at Emmaus anymore?" Now, Paul, you're going to have to be a bit more specific about what Jesus was doing then that you want him to do now. I don't believe that you're looking for Jesus to walk with us two by two from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And I think that you understand that Jesus is still revealed to all of us in the breaking of bread. Did you want Jesus to eat fish with us? Like after Cleopas and his friend ran back to Jerusalem? I think I know what you're getting at, but I'd really love for you to focus that question in. Paul said, you're right, Pastor. You know, I don't need Jesus to walk with me to Emmaus. I know that Jesus walks beside all of us. And I don't need him to eat fish either. But in the stories around Emmaus and afterwards, it says that Jesus opens their minds to understand Scripture. That's what I'm talking about. It's really the one thing that I envy the disciples about when I read the gospel. Jesus opened their minds, and mine is still closed up tight as a drum. Why doesn't Jesus do that anymore? Pastor Brad said, you know, Paul, I get a little jealous of Cleopas and his friend when I read about that walk with Jesus also. Although, I do believe that Jesus does still do that. I think that Jesus continues to open our minds to understand the Scriptures. Now, Paul started looking at Brad as if he was a little touched in the head. You do? Paul asked. I would love to understand Scripture. But there's so much of it that it seems to just lead to arguments and fights. There's so much that I still don't get. I hear friends and colleagues talking about things like conquest and end times and all of that kind of stuff. I just don't get it, and I wish that Jesus would just open my mind to understand the Scriptures. Pastor Brad smiled and said, I hear the same kind of thing from lots of people who would love to have answers to some of those difficult questions like you're raising. I don't know that Jesus provides answers to those, but he does open our minds, and I think that the resurrection starts that entire process. If you remember in the gospel stories, Jesus has been teaching the disciples, and I think he was also playing with their memories so that when he does rise from the dead, some of the things that he said and some of the things that he taught and some of the things that he did will make more sense to the disciples than ever before. When Jesus comes to the disciples, showing them proof of his resurrection, I think that he's opening their minds to remember things that he said and to take them to heart in a whole new way, opening their minds then to understand. I also think that that's why Jesus revealed himself in breaking bread and in eating fish or showing the disciples his hands and his feet and his side, so that they could see that he really did die and that he is really risen from the grave. Because that opens minds to lots of new possibilities. It also opens the entire Hebrew Scripture to new interpretation when you look at it through the lens of a risen Christ. Paul, the reason I believe that Jesus does still open our minds to understand is because of something Martin Luther taught. Like you and me, Luther struggled with many things that he found in the Bible. Cruelty, violence, a God of judgment and thunder and the like. All of the same kind of stuff that we still find today. But as Luther studied the Bible and as he translated it, he came to understand it more and more because he began reading the Bible through the lens of Jesus. Luther used a phrase in German that was, was Christum treibt, what conveys Christ. Luther read the Bible using Jesus as his primary interpretive tool. If you were reading a passage in the Bible and it didn't make sense to you in light of Jesus, in the light of God's love for us all in Jesus, then Luther would recommend that you set it aside and find something that spoke of God's love. Or struggle with that passage until you found how it spoke of God's love. That's how I think Jesus is still opening our minds to understand the Scriptures. The life that Jesus lived gives us the closest look at what God is really like. The suffering and death that Jesus endured gives us the closest look at what God is really like. And then the resurrection of Jesus gives us also the closest look at what God is really like. So when we read the Old Testament and there are parts in it about dashing people's heads on rocks, we need to ask, does that talk about God's love in Jesus Christ? And when we read from the Old Testament about God's love for Abraham and his faithfulness to King David, we need to ask, does this show God's love in Jesus Christ? Paul, Jesus is trying to show us that God's love is bigger than anything, and it's way bigger than was thought of in the Old Testament. And that the love of God still challenges us to remain true to ourselves. And then we go and invite others into the scope of that love from God. Jesus reminds us that judging someone else isn't something we need to do. We get to instead discover many different ways to love others. Now, sometimes that includes rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty, helping out. And other times, it's about standing aside and allowing another to help because we just don't know how. Jesus does want us to understand the scriptures, but he wants us to understand it as the story of God's love for us all. It should never be used to terrify anyone, and it is definitely not like stereo instructions. Scripture does speak to us through law and gospel, but I am always to read the law concerning myself, and the gospel is always for my neighbor. Paul was nodding his head a little bit, and he said, I think I understand that a little. I just wish that it was easier. It still sounds like a lot of work, even to read the Bible in light of Jesus. And Pastor Brad said, well, it is. And there's really no simple way to get it. I don't even think that the disciples had an all-encompassing aha moment, no matter what we read in Luke. They didn't just know nothing one moment and then know everything the next. It takes a lifetime. It takes effort to understand and even more effort to live that understanding. That is what Jesus is calling the disciples to in these post-Easter stories. It's what Jesus is calling all of us to do every day. We are to be witnesses of the resurrection, even us. Paul, we live in a Good Friday world with violence and misunderstanding, with prejudice and cruelty, with ignorance and laziness. And we are called by the risen Jesus to bring the power of Easter love with us everywhere we go, from boardrooms to classrooms, from hallways to store aisles, from backyards and city halls. We are called to be witnesses to God's love in Jesus, especially in Jesus rising from the dead. Jesus rose so that God's love would pour down on us. But Jesus also sets us on a path to read the Bible through the lens of his life so that we can understand and then strive to love our neighbors as Jesus himself loves us. Pastor Brad stopped for a moment, allowing Paul to think about the things that they had been talking about. You know, Pastor, Paul said, I guess he does. I guess that Jesus does still open our minds. I was just looking for the easy way out, kind of like negotiating Cecily's honeydew lists. Thanks for taking some time and for talking with me about this. I hope your lilacs bloom soon. Thanks, Paul, Pastor Brad said. Have a great day and have some fun with your list. You know, you are always welcome to Sunday school or to a Bible study if you want someone to, if you want some help in understanding, or if you just want some other people who will commiserate with you about how hard it is to understand. I'll see you guys soon. Jesus does still open our minds to understand the scriptures. His life stands for us as an interpretive lens, and his love shows us the depth of God's love for all people. One of the true implications of our Easter proclamation is that in Jesus rising, we see God most clearly. And so it is with joy that we proclaim, Jesus is risen. Amen. In celebration of the resurrection and in remembrance of our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Alive in the risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Living God, in the midst of Easter joy, we are still filled with questions and wondering. Open our hearts and minds as we encounter the Scriptures, so that the Church embodies repentance and forgiveness in the name of Jesus to all nations. Lord, in your mercy, creating God, like a master artist, you have fashioned the universe out of your love and delight. Heal your creation where it is in need of restoration. Provide all the inhabitants of earth a peaceful and sustainable home. Lord, in your mercy. God of all, the nations hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Many call on you for guidance and strength. Answer their hopes with the peace of Christ and give your loving kindness to national, state, and local leaders of people. Lord, in your mercy. Healing God, you hear the cries of those in need and answer them in their distress. Grant to those who are sick and suffering your compassion. We pray especially for Ryan and nurse them back to health and wholeness. Be close to the hearts of the lonely. Lord, in your mercy. Loving parent, you have given us such love that we should be called the children of God. Reveal yourself to us so that we in this community of faith will become more and more like you in our mutual love and bold witness. Lord, in your mercy. God of all times and ages, those who have died in you now see you as you are. We thank you for their lives among us. Assure us of the peace you have promised that we may join them in everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. In the hope of a new life in Christ, we raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Enjoy the weather as you go into the world with hope.
God's vision, our mission.
That's what we do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.